Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Chef and restaurateur Richard Corrigan, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome home. You've opened a restaurant in Dublin. I see one reviewer said it's the restaurant Dublin has been waiting for. So what were we waiting for? How would you describe it?
I was waiting for the R10 band to meet me on Shelburne Road, to be honest with you, with my return to Dublin. I don't know. I opened a local, a trattoria, bistro, cafe with food from my gardens, without all the pretense that comes with it. Everyone in white aprons, everyone working, including myself. Nobody in suits waiting you at reception, looking you up and down. I just opened a place and it's been incredibly well received, because you never know how you're going to be received. It doesn't mean before it wasn't pre-planned and over thought out. I just thought, you know, there's room for something that's friendly. There's a big country welcome, and I have a lot of food up in Virginia that I need to use. And Brexit kind of changed all that. You know, I was bringing it to London and now I'm bringing it to Dublin. And it seems to be a really kind of magical kind of hand in glove fit. Sometimes it doesn't work, you know what I mean? And you feel it already. I mean, you walk up and down, you say, why didn't that happen? You know, it has humbled me, I'll be honest with you. Everyone is working. There's no kind of sitting there drinking champagne. I've never worked as hard in my life, I'll be honest with you.
Are you cooking there?
I am, yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
I've been doing that for the last 4 weeks. You know, it's tough, you know, but it's wonderfully tough, because you kind of set the standard for the rest of the team around you. You know what I mean? People talk about it's hard when you open restaurants. There's no question about it. Everything goes wrong. You know what I mean? Leaks. There was a leak last night over the kitchen. I mean, everything goes wrong. You know, there was a bar leak the previous night. But you think I'd have learned by now. And there was no stop valve to be found anywhere, you know, and you're left with this tape, kitchen tape, wrapping around a little copper pipe. You know, it's great. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy food. And every restaurant has its own personality and it becomes something. This is kind of, it's very uniquely kind of, not just because it's Irish in Ireland. I call it a cafe. It's an Irish cafe. It's food from the farm delivered and it tastes great. You know, I'm using my butchers in Oldcastle. You know, I mean, it seems something that it's working. The oysters from the coast coming up. It's just a magical little thing. It's a moment that happens and it gels, and it just seems right. It doesn't mean everything I've done has been as successful so quickly.
Yeah, you sound you're presenting it in a very kind of a humble way, as in just this little local place and everything. Have you kind of turned against that kind of high-end, fancy kind of vibe, yeah?
I'm at an age where I don't want to, you know, too much philosophy and talk about kitchen philosophy. I mean, and then everything's just brought in a plastic bag, you know what I mean? This is real. People know it's real. Maybe that's why it's been well received. Karina Hargraves, you know what I mean? I mean, wonderful review in the Times, I'll be honest with you. I mean, a friend of mine in London who's an amazing restaurant critic, he sent me, you know what I mean, a wonderful piece on it. And I just thought, you know, it's nice. It's nice to be met with a welcome instead of a...
It was obviously important to you, was it, that you got the welcome and you got the old good review? I thought you'd be above that at this stage.
No, I'll be honest with you. You're never above a warm welcome and a nice piece from your colleagues. You're never. It's not. I always feel for everyone surrounding the restaurant. You know, the restaurant that we run. You know, my family and my children are involved in it. You know what I mean? From my sister up in Virginia, Deirdre, to my son Richie, who's the MD of the company, to my daughter Jessica, who runs the PR and marketing side of the business. You know what I mean? With her own business as well. And my youngest Robbie, who's in LA, assistant F&B manager in one of Paddy McKillen's hotels. So, you know what I mean? It's this kind of, you know what I mean? I'm thinking for the next generation. It wouldn't be terrible if you returned home to Dublin and it was completely bombed and it was a terrible kind of, you know, embarrassment. I wouldn't be worried about myself because, you know what I mean, I'm a bit hard-skinned, but I'd be thinking of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How would they feel and say, Dad, you shouldn't have done it, you know?
It's not your first crack at Dublin, of course.
No, I was here before.
Yeah.
I was here before. That cracked, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I learned something really important really quickly, that I bought into a project that as a minority shareholder, and I learned after 5 months that was a terrible mistake and I just didn't want to be a minority shareholder with the people I was in business with. And okay. I decided, you know, you just
and
pull
no disrespect to them or
no,
anything.
No, I would never, absolutely, no disrespect. They're wonderful people.
Yeah. How much is it? How much is it for a steak? How much would I get a dinner there for?
Oh, you could share one of my Oxford Sandys piglets back. Piglets would feed enough for four people, I'll be honest with you. Charge around 35 euro for two. I mean, if you break that down, you share between three or four. You know what I mean? It comes down to in his 20s. A fillet steak is around, I think, with everything, around 30-something euro. You know, it's you know, you can have a fish pie for 22 euro. You know, you can have a dessert for 6 euro. It seems, you know what I mean? There's no kind of price gouging, you know what I mean? I can't see. Can you do Ryanair with a smile? You know what I mean? Can you do Ryanair with hospitality? You know, I mean, it's a wonderful model, but can you know what I mean? Can you upgrade it a little bit and keep those things happening? You know what I mean? I'd like to try, and I'll let you know in 6 months' time, you know?
So what's your sense of things in Ireland now? Like, there's a cost of living crisis here, but clearly you feel there are enough people with enough money to open a kind of a swish place in Ballsbridge.
I'm probably cheaper than most places in a small provincial town in Ireland. I mean, Ballsbridge, it sounds swishy. It is swishy. But you know what I mean? Our pricing is incredibly moderate. I think that's why I like people from all over Ireland to dine with me. You know, so I like people coming up from the country. You know, we had a few people from Athlone in there last night. You know what I mean? We had an absolutely bowl of a laugh. And I think that's what it's about. I like a restaurant is just not for one type of person. I like a nice collection of country folk, city folk, international folk, all mixed into this lovely pot that called atmosphere, that lovely swound that makes a restaurant kind of feel good. And, you know, what I did find very quickly, a lot of my customers in London, yeah, who live in Dublin, you know what I mean, have came out to support me. And that's really, really humbling. And I've been absolutely overwhelmed.
You keep saying humbling. I don't believe you'll ever be humble.
So, you might think that, you know, yeah. Overconfidence, you know what I mean? I've been working a long time, Brendan. I'm working since I'm 14. So, you know, when you talk about humble or not, I'm not there to be kicked in the ass by someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? But okay. I am there when someone who does know what they're talking about says, Richie, this is a really good project you've just done. And that humbles me.
Were you able to get staff, and are the staff able to find somewhere to live?
Yeah, staff. I honestly, it's a real issue. I don't know. It's a real issue, Dublin. It's very expensive, honestly. I drive up and down the M3 every night, every morning. I live up in Cavan in Virginia. I think the price of apartments is, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how people do it, Brendan. Honestly, full stop.
And this is coming from somebody who spends a lot of time in London.
I refuse to pay those type of prices that's asked for.
So where are your staff living?
Well, they're all sharing bedrooms all around Dublin, you know what I mean, really, from Pobentry to the verges of the city, and they just come in on the buses and trains.
And sharing bedrooms.
And sharing bedrooms, yeah. It's a real issue. It's a real issue, accommodation. And hospitality is bearing the brunt of that real difficult moment. There's no question about that.
Are you drawn back here? Or are you thinking you're going to come home and be more in Ireland than London? Yeah,
I mean, coming home, I'll be honest with you, I've been giving the Brits enough grief for 30 years, I'll be honest with you. I've never left Ireland, you know what I mean? My heart and soul has always been in Ireland, you know what I mean? I was an Irishman abroad. I'm an Irishman home, you know what I mean? I'm home where I belong. I like being home. I miss my wife, Maria, I'll be honest with you. I was back in London last Monday night. We're doing a charity for one of the...
Where's Maria living?
She lives in London at the moment, yeah. Okay. She just has to come out for an operation.
She's a physiotherapist.
She's a therapist. And she looks after young kids, I mean, such a...
Oh, psychotherapist.
Yeah.
Psychotherapist, okay.
Yeah, so she's really... It's a good mix, you know what I mean? A chef and a therapist, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine. So she's in London.
She's in London, yeah.
And you're up in Cavan.
Absolutely. And right. I flew in last Monday. There was a charity night for Great Ormond Street in Corrigan's Mayfair. Run by one of the Smurfits, and it was a wonderful night for young Irish kids going blind. I went in Sunday. I was home Monday. I came back Tuesday. And, you know, it's hard.
So are you gravitating back here?
Oh, yeah.
We've come home as
London,
well.
London, we're at an age we've done London. It's only a matter of a few things, like, you know what I mean, underpinning of a house and a few other issues, you know what I mean, that we'll fall back in here.
And will one of your kids run the London
Richie,
and things then?
Yeah, Richie is the boss of the company, really. I'm the conductor of the kitchens and the orchestra that makes food happen, you know what
okay.
I mean? But he really runs. I don't know all about the boxes anymore. He runs that.
And is Richie a more, I won't say stable individual, is he more better at running a business than you might be? You're more the vision person.
Well, I've done well up to now, but he's slowly kind of pushed me aside, you know what I mean, really? And he does things, I think, better, you know, let's say that.
Okay.
Much better.
Okay, all right. Virginia Lodge, I feel, I saw you refer to it as your spiritual home. This is a big old folly of a big old house you brought up in Virginia, and you've turned it into a magnificent kitchen garden and all this kind of
yeah.
thing. Is that where you're moving towards now, yeah?
Yeah, I've been at it for 9 years. I'm on the boathouse at the moment. We've done everything. I mean, slowly but surely, you know what I mean? I always knew it was going to be a long project. I just didn't think it was going to be 9 years or 12 years. It's a legacy, really. I'll be honest with you. I'm very proud of it. I was married there, I'll be honest with you. So I'm just kind of, you know, and the state it was, and I don't want to go about, you know, didn't I save it? Well, you know, it saved itself, really, because it's a beautiful place on a beautiful lake. It just needed somebody, the custodian of it, to manage it, to work it, to plant it, and to bring a group of people around you, people like Daphne Shackleton, you know what I mean, planting trees and planting the right sort of trees, because you don't be planting trees that you shouldn't have planted in the right places. And it had been unloved for around 70 years, so you know what I mean. I'm very aware of the work we've done on it and its next 70 years, you know what I mean, which hopefully the family will be still involved.
So you're back to being a country boy.
Yeah, and I was always a country boy. I wear it on sleeve. You ask a country person, you know what I mean, they say it as it is.
Yeah.
And I'm very much that. No, I've always been that, you know, so I'm very happy. I've been that person, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to change.
When you were young, your brother got the farm and you didn't, is that right?
Yeah, Johnny, I mean, yeah. There was some stuff sold. John inherited a farm next door to us, which was part of the family. And, you know, I probably made a much better farmer, really, than my brother.
And you're proving that point now, are you?
I think there is something to prove, you know what I mean? I think he's went in unnatural farming in the last few years. Only because you probably nearly got poisoned from the amount of poison he threw on the land. You know what I mean, really? So, you know what I mean?
I'm sure he didn't throw any poison on the land, okay? I don't know how the relationship with your brother is now, but, like, we don't want to him into this.
There's a real feeling again, Brendan, we've been shouting for a long time about, you know, the natural cycles of farming. And even the large-scale farmers understand that, you know, what we're putting on and the sprays that have been putting on grains, it has to stop. Something has to stop. There has to be a balance refound again.
And are we moving in the right direction in Ireland, do you think, in farming?
Well, you wouldn't think so if you read the reports on water pollution and lakes and rivers in Ireland. I'll be honest with you, 70% probably worse off than they were probably 25 years ago. So I think there has to be a change. We have to stop and think for a moment. You know what I mean? I mean, prove a point. We started big hot composting. We banned black bags or got rid of black bags in Virginia Park Lodge a good few years ago now, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And we just took them out of the kitchen and then we put in their bins. And then we'd done a hot composting operation. I got a company in Cornwall because I couldn't find one in Ireland at the time called Ryden. I had to do all the schools in Cornwall, these kind of hot composting barrels, huge things really. And you have to feed them, you know, you take out, you put in, you take out. And we have installed two of them in Virginia Park Lodge, so cooked and raw food and all of that, and it really heats it up. You could boil water on it if you really are into that. You could, and maybe we need to get back to communal hot composting operations. You know what I mean? By, you know, we have to get back. It can't be just landfill and just burning. We have to find uses for things we don't need. Plastic needs to be recycled. Bottles need to be recycled. This culture of just binning it has to stop. We have to find a value for secondhand clothing, shoes, clothing and all of that. It's just, you know, buying stuff and disposing of it. We have to find something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You have a lot of Syrians and Ukrainians working up in Virginia Lodge, do you?
Yeah, I've always taken in. I mean, I've always felt like, you know, when you're abroad, you always understand what a refugee is, you know what I mean? Starting off, you know what I mean? A bed sits in Amsterdam and London and Camden Road. In the 80s, you kind of know what it is to have nothing and a meter and a corner of a room. I have a huge sympathy for people that have to leave their homeland to find work or because of wars. And I will always have that. My heart is big and there's lots of big hearts in Ireland. It's not just me. There's amazing stuff going on a local community level in Trim, County Meath. You know what I mean? There's you know, we've had a been part in the early days of the Ukrainian war. You know what I mean? But a group of us, let's say us, because there's a group of helping Ukrainians get from Poland to Ireland outside of the Red Cross scenario. There's been amazing people down in Trim finding houses and homes privately from people that have a spare bedroom, coexist with other families. And I just think, you know what I mean? It's nice to be able to give back. It's a good feeling. I've been involved with charities in London for a long time, the Camden Irish Centre, Irish Youth Foundation. So I think it's important. Success is a great road to help do other things with, not just, you know what I mean, fill your pockets and just drink champagne, you know what I mean?
And to give them work as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, the Syrians...
sense of getting up in the morning with something to do and all that.
The great thing about the Syrians, they understand a Massey Ferguson 135.
Do they, yeah?
They do, because that's what they have there, you understand? Yeah. Because part of that whole empire stuff, Massey Ferguson's went to Iraq and Syria and everywhere else where there was a British flag flying. And they understand it. So if that tractor breaks down, the Syrians can get in there and fix that tractor. And so they plough the fields, they do the tillage, and their wives come in and pick all the vine leaves, you know what I mean, because they like cooking with them, wrapping stuff and rice and meat up in them. And they're wonderful people, and they're really, their food is delicious. And, you know, it's a new Ireland. It's a new part of Ireland, you know what I mean? So when I see all those right-wing asses up and down this country, you know what I mean, whinging and complaining like they did down in Cork there a few days ago, you really feel like taking out a big birch stick and beating their arses, you know what I mean, full stop. Because Ireland needs to be a welcoming place, because the world has been very welcoming to us.
What do the Syrians make of you?
I don't know. You know what I mean? That's a good question. I think we have huge respect for one another, you know what I mean? Yeah. End of story. I just think so. I think when you're met abroad with a warm welcome and a smile, and someone gives you work, I've had the same experience with some great people in the UK, you know what I mean? And you find the good ones and the bad ones and the indifferent ones. And when you find the good ones, I always tend to, you should hold on to them.
And what are you learning from them?
Well, I'm learning about, I love that whole Levant. I love all that food from that area, their couscouses, their cracked wheats, what they can do with mint, you know, what they can do with yogurts, you know, what they can do with spice. It's just amazing. That whole kind of, you know, the Iranian is like Indian without heat and spice, you know what I mean?
But gentle spicing.
Oh,
like,
my God, it's so
fragrant
good.
Fragrant spicing.
And they can mix things like a spinach salad, and they can put prunes in it and pine nuts. And you think it's Italian. It's not. It's Iranian. And it's absolutely delicious. And serve that with a lamb chop, you just think, God, this is good.
All right, so they're teaching you how to cook all over again.
Well, you know what I mean. To acknowledge someone's culture and their food is really wonderful. You know what I mean. And I acknowledge they've been cooking so well for thousands of years. We've been eating cow's arse half raw in Ireland, or mincemeat and boiled spuds, Brendan. I mean, get a life. I mean, these people have a lot to give Ireland.
Okay. What do the locals up around Virginia make of you? Because I'd say you don't blend in quietly, do you?
I'll be honest with you, it takes time. It's like, you know what I mean?
You're in a quiet taste.
It's like making
a
mayonnaise, you know what I mean? It could curdle very easily, you know? But it's great. We had a great GAA fundraiser there a couple of weeks ago, I'll be honest with you, for the local GAA club. Michael Maguire, I have to give Michael Maguire a shout. I mean, we were arch enemies probably years ago, because he's in the pork business. And now Michael is our assistant in my free-range and organic pork operation. And you know what I mean? And he can't believe the happiness of the pigs and how well they're doing, and we know antibiotics and all of that. So, you know, but he is still, we need someone like Michael to help us in the husbandry of those animals, because all that needs to be properly done, because we're cooks. We're not necessarily great, great natural farmers of animals.
Yeah.
So we need to learn that. So, you know what I mean? It's been a great, great combination.
So you're building bridges?
You get to a certain age and you think, you know what I mean? You know, it's a wonderful town. And you know what's wonderful about Virginia? There's a wonderful, the woodland there, the deer park, the lake. And the town has an immense pride in itself, and it's always had. But lately, all the paving has been done. All the derelict buildings are being bought up and redone. And it's nice to see that, because I'm really street proud. If I see a piece of rubbish on the street, I bend down and pick it up.
You're mellowing, are you?
Oh, probably less battles to fight, less stresses. You know what I mean? Really, I'm taking every project much more carefully. Great people around me. I mean, honestly, great people. You don't do this on your own, no matter how good you think you are. I think Richie taking over the business has been a great. It allowed me to do other things on the creative side. And, you know, it's you know, you get to an age where, you know, you've less... You know, that ambition thing about pride and proving, let's do it, let's win.
Yeah.
It's a different win now. The next decade is a different win.
So what is that different win? What drives you now?
I think the life experience that I've had, I need to take some little time, more time out for myself and my wife, I'll be honest with you, Maria. I think maybe do a little bit of travelling. I've been nowhere. I've always came to Ireland on my holidays. No matter where I went, I went
like
to Ireland.
Like a lot of people who live in England or the States or whatever, all the holidays are coming home.
Absolutely coming home. So every year was, so I never, hardly, I think I've been down in Asia once. I'd like to see more of America. I'd like to see more, a little bit more of Asia, maybe Australia. I do a little bit more traveling, and that will come. You know what I mean? We're doing a pop up in Washington in March, with Daffodil Mulligans from London. So you know what I mean. That should be good fun. So there's
have
a little
you
bit of
money
that.
Now.
I've no money. I'll be honest with you. I've nothing. I've a debit card. I've some savings. I want to pay off my mortgage.
So are you still driven by money, or is it?
You have to get up. Well, you know, I mean, I have a mortgage to pay. I'll be honest, every bit of money I've earned, I put into my business, or I spent on the education of my kids. You know what I mean? It hasn't been filling your pockets ever with me. It's really, it's about keeping the business strong, keeping it good, not over indebting it or taking out too much. It's a really fine balance, the whole hospitality world. And those who tend to fail on it quite quickly is those who just put their greedy little grubby fingers into the till and just take the money and leave the business with nothing. And those are the business that always fails in hospitality. So I'm very careful what I do and what you take out, because it all has to go back in, and you need to keep the company strong in case bad times come, and they do come invariably all of the time. And that's very, very important, that you didn't bust your company.
Yeah.
Things fail sometimes because it just fails. But it's a different story when the director of that firm fails it.
Yeah. I suppose a lot of people in your business as well probably enjoy themselves a bit too much, don't they? There is a wild life can tend to go with kitchen life and restaurant life, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's part of that whole adrenaline kind of rush. Maria, my darling, I'll be honest, she said something to me last Sunday. I phoned up, she said, how are you? And it was like the therapist asking you. And
yeah,
I went,
oh yeah, but how are you?
How are you? And I said, God, I'm right, I'm amazing, I'm feeling really great. And she's the best ever. She said, don't let alcohol spoil your high.
Yeah,
it's that self-adrenaline, you know what I mean, of opening thing. Don't let alcohol spoil that high, because alcohol can spoil a lot of people in hospitality's highs. Large cases of alcoholism, drug abuse and all of that leads to depressions and other issues. So, you know, you have to be really, really careful.
So when you're on that buzz and you've had a good night in the place, the temptation then is to...
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Staying in Virginia is a really good thing, because, you know, you have to get in the car and drive up and then drive back down. You think going down, you think coming up, and you can kind of solve a few issues in your head.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have Miko with me from London, Finnish, amazing Finnish guy, to be honest with you. He's just, you know, honestly, he's fantastic. And Michael Lynch and Fiona... and you know, Ranud, everyone, we're starting a young guy in on the trial yesterday, a young Dublin guy, and I don't know what he thought of it, and he said, I want to work here. And do you know what, that filled me full of pride last night going down to Cavan. I thought of that 22 year old spent a day with us, and he said at the end of the evening, he said, I want to work here, Richard.
Yeah,
that's important.
And so would you take a drink these days?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I do, but I would say I'm much more careful. I don't have that alcoholic gene, thanks be to God.
Yeah.
But I do know how to abuse alcohol, unless I'm going to put up my hands. You know, I have a reputation in London of enjoying myself. But now I'm much more careful. You know, I do like a little spot of whiskey here and there.
When did you get sense?
Oh, God. I think I got sense when I realised that it became boring.
Yeah.
How about that? Alcohol, it became boring. I was bored with it. I was bored with just drinking for the sake of drinking, going out to the Groucho Club or something like that. I just didn't find any enjoyment in it anymore. But I do. I like having a pint with a few people, locals and all of that. It's a different thing, that kind of social part of it.
Yeah.
I love. But just going out late because you finish late, and that becomes just this cycle of just going out.
So London wasn't good for you, really. You're better off back here commuting up and down every day.
Yeah,
I'd say no wonder Maria wants to head back to Ireland, I'd say. Would that be the case?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I just think there's so much to see in Ireland, so much to discover. You know, I want to travel up and down.
Yeah, and there's no growth Grotcher Club either.
There is no Grotcher Club because, you know what, it all becomes boring in the end. It does. Yeah. It really, really does. I mean, having a social drink with people is the most wonderful thing around Christmas. It really is, Bertie's and all of that. But it doesn't mean, you know, you have to just say, I'll have another bottle.
Yeah. What's next?
What's next?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest, it will be announced, but, you know, we have...
Well, sure, announce it now, you're on the
I
radio.
Will, yeah. The National Portrait Gallery in London, which has been rebuilt for the last 4 years, it's been just completely turned around with a brand new plaza. It went out to tender probably 2 years ago, and the Corrigan family really has won that tender. And we have teamed up then with Alistair Story and a wonderful company to do this project. And I just think I was really proud about winning that. I have to tell you right now. I thought you know. Irish.
All right. So everything up to now has all been a crock. Like you're presenting this thing of this man who's settling down to rear his pigs up in Virginia and run a little local dive in Ball's Bridge. But actually, you're back on the treadmill.
No,
of madness
I won't be back on
London
the treadmill. No, it's a different thing. It's another generation. I'll be honest, which is on that treadmill.
Okay.
And I'm really, really proud about that because you know the chef and Daffodil Mulligans will go in there. Richie will be largely responsible for it. And of course, there's a little bit of, you know, moving pans in behind the scenes. But, you know, you have to respect other creative people in your company and that comes behind you, that they have to have their day in the sunshine as well.
It's very important, isn't
it's
it?
It's really important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, listen, keep moving the pans around. Richard Corrigan, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Thank you.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.